Okay, that was Craig Taubman, Eliyahu from Inscribed. Oh, I have that wrong. I'll change that. Anyway, hope everybody has a sweet and happy new year, and a fast if you are fasting. And yeah, all those good things. So here is Chris Earle and company. Going to talk at you and throw music in your ears and do other kinds of rearranging of your brain cells, I'm sure.
Transmission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
To find that you planned it all along. I see it now. It comes so clear. Your insincerity. Me, you're starry-eyed. You think that
91.5 WMFO Medford.
Chris Earle is here with guest. Time travel will take over the controls and titillate your ears.
I don't even like to pee with the door open. You know, if I've lived with people, I always close the door. And I usually lock it.
Now, we're up to our long-distance dedication. And this one is about kids and pets and a situation that we can all understand. Whether we have kids or pets or neither. Let's come start again. Now, we're up to our long-distance dedication. Let's come start again. Now, we're up to our long-distance dedication. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles. Let's come start again.
We played Monopoly first, and that game got over surprisingly quickly, and I don't remember why.
It's because I was cheating.
I love you all. I love you more than life itself.
Let's come start again.
You're listening to WMFO Medford, Mass. Time travel with Chris Earls here with you till 7 p.m.
I want love, but it's impossible. A man like me, so irresponsible. A man like me is dead in places. Other men feel liberated.
Now, we're up to our long-distance dedication.
For God's sake, strap yourselves down!
Been a good, kind, and loyal friend to me, and you made a real difference in my life.
Now let's see if we can't figure out what you are, my little friend, and where you come from.
It's time travel here with you until 7 p.m.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh. I'll have what she's having.
It's WMFO Medford, here with you till 7 p.m. It's time travel with Chris Earle. Guest today is Winston Kidd.
Give me some.
changing the tide beneath me. You never let me down before. I could not love you any better.
Four fried chickens and a Coke.
And some dry white toast, please.
Rollin', 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 rollin',
rollin', rollin', rollin', though the streams are swollen, keep them doggies rollin'. All the things I'm missing, good bills, love and kissing, are waiting at the end of my ride.
Move them on,
hit them up,
hit them up,
move them on,
move them on,
hit them up,
rawhide,
cut them out,
ride them in,
cut them out,
cut them out,
ride them in. Keep them doggies moving rawhide.
Don't try to understand them, just rope, crow, and brand them. Soon we'll be living high and wide.
My heart's calculating, my true love will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of my ride.
Move them on,
hit them up,
hit them up.
Move them on,
move them on,
hit them up,
rawhide. Cut them out,
ride them in,
ride them in.
Ride 'em in rawhide.
Yeah. Move 'em on,
hit 'em up,
hit 'em up,
move 'em on,
move 'em on,
hit 'em up,
rawhide.
WMFO, Medford, Massachusetts. Got a little rawhide in the background, and I got Winston Kidd with me. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming back. We were down, and we got an emergency call, basically saying the station was down, and now it's back up again. So thanks to the ops group for being the only people in my life that have been consistent and communicative.
Yeah.
They've been very good in getting us back up and rolling on the air. And we've got quite a few listeners today. We got our friends over in Limerick saying hello, of course. And we have the Russians actually listening to us.
It was their initial attempt to keep us off the air.
I think so. They've been watching me more and more lately.
Yeah. Collusion.
Collusion, yeah. That's a nice cover that the Blues Brothers do of Rawhide. Before that, we actually had Murph and the Magic Tones. That was unreleased. I found that years ago in this little separate area on a Blues Brothers fan site. And I've actually got two others. One's called Sink the Bismarck, which is a World War II tune that they actually did not use in the movie, but they actually filmed it. And they have a nice copy of it, and I've got that for us next. And I also have another little piece from Magic at Murph and the Magic Tones. And I got some Ray Charles and some James Brown and a couple more Blues Brothers songs in there. So we are in the 1980s today. And we've been in the 1980s before. And a lot of people think of the big 80s as the MTV generation and New Wave and things like that. But I think we're going to do more of a rocky 80s today. Blues Brothers block and then a rock theme for the 80s today. So let's go back to 1980. What were you doing in 1980, Winston?
Jeez, I was in school. I was, was I still in high school back then? I was just a little bipster.
Yeah?
Hanging out. Basically, drinking.
You were drinking?
Chasing women.
Yeah. Did you see the Blues Brothers movie in the theater?
Yeah.
I did too. Yeah. I was really young. I think I was 10. And my stepfather took me to see it. It was awesome.
It was great.
Yeah. Like, but still one of the best car chases of all time in any movie. And Blues Brothers. I think they ruined like over 100 cop cars.
I think
movie.
I want to say 119 is a number that sticks in my head. But at the time, it was the most number of cars ruined in a car chase in history up till that point.
Yeah, just an amazing movie. And another one of those where 37 years later, it comes on, I watch it, wherever it is.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever it is.
There's some great, incredible lines in that movie that you just, you know, they stick with you forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Buicks are in early this year.
That's right. They're going through them all. Buicks are in early this year. Henry Gibson in there, as well as Carrie Fisher, Aretha Franklin, Ray Charles, Cab Calloway, Minnie the Moocher does, and James Brown. And, of course, the great, great John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd. A fantastic movie. And we have dressed up as the Blues Brothers a number of times at 80s parties over the years. And we've had a wonderful time doing so. And everybody is very happy to see us when we show up.
It's great.
Yeah. We've managed to do this in karaoke a number of times, and it is fun bringing joy to people and taking mug shots tonight. I can see how people will do the full career, you know, setting up and being like a Elvis cover or a Prince cover now and things like that. It's fun.
Yeah, because it's huge, and people just, you know, much more so than you would have expected.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first time we did that, I thought they were great costumes, and we were going to a party, an 80s-themed party, and we stopped off for a burger before the party, and we had people in the restaurant come up to us and ask to take pictures with us.
Yeah, and we were officially off the clock at that point.
The party hadn't even started. There were people, look, the Blues Brothers.
Yep. It was fun. I think I'm going to start doing that maybe with my big return to stand-up. Maybe I'll do Bill Cosby's act, just do like all his act. Or maybe he's, maybe he's not the best choice, but...
Yeah, you don't want to do all his act.
Mm-hmm. I think you were telling me that somebody is actually promoting themselves as a George Carlin act, and he does all George Carlin jokes.
Really?
And he's actually getting paid to do George Carlin jokes.
Wow.
Yeah. Maybe I should work up my memory skills and just do something like that. Maybe Cosby's not the way to go. Who would work? How about maybe Mitch Hedberg? It seems like everybody loved him.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do that. Just
he's another one that left us too earlier. Sam Kennison.
Or Kennison, yeah. I think with Hedberg, I'd probably have to get stoned a hell of a lot more than I do, and which is a lot because I don't at all. And with Kennison, I just basically have to get fatter and shorter.
And start doing a lot more coke, so you're a lot more wound up.
Yeah, both of them involve lots of drugs, and I'm not sure my heart can actually work that anymore. You know, we're trying to get rid of the weight and make the health a little bit better. And by the way, you're looking good. This has been a pretty good year for both of us health wise, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stress levels aside, I think physically, we're both doing very well this year.
Yeah, I think we're both down on the weight.
Uh huh.
Feeling better, walking tall. Feeling mean.
Got some more energy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's been nice. Maybe I can get svelte like Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
If I get down to that level. That would be nice.
You and me both.
And maybe we could find the time machine and that maybe a fountain of youth. And I think that's the next move is go down, look 30 or 40 years younger. That would be nice.
That would be very nice.
I think we're doing pretty well for our age, though.
So favorite memories of the Blues Brothers? Anything come to mind other than driving through the hotel in that line you mentioned? The good old boys, maybe? You're the good old boys.
Yeah. I think one of my favorite lines, which doesn't get a lot of play, is you're going to look awfully funny trying to eat corn on the cob with no effing teeth.
That one's good, and one of my favorites, too, is when the two Nazis go over the construction site, and they're in the middle of the air, and they look down, and it seems to go about a mile before the car crashes, and the second-in-command looks at him, and he says, I've always loved you. Just making those last seconds awkward in their short lives. But what a great, great movie. Really, really funny movie.
That and I Hate Illinois Nazis.
Yes, and I actually have a clip of that. I think I had already played I Hate Illinois Nazis. And interesting how things turn around. It's like you can use that in a movie and get a laugh in 1980, and nowadays, nope. Basically have thousands of people come and protest, and then you get there and there's nothing going on. I mean, what a sad state of affairs a number of weeks ago with just a bunch of people getting together and this big fizzle out. It's like, okay, what did you guys do again? What were you doing that for? I'm still confused by the whole thing. All I knew was I was staying home. That's what I knew because I worked all week. I worked about 60 hours that week. I'm like, no, you guys can have your protest.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what you're doing there.
I'm more than happy to show up if there's a kegger, but...
Yeah, that's true. If you rolled in a keg, maybe, but the cops were taking away everything. They'd probably have taken away the keg. Or a silly hat. What if I wore a Devo hat in, you know? That would have been taken away.
Yeah.
People no fun anymore.
Certainly would have been considered radical.
Yeah, people no fun anymore. I do have to mention, thank you to the local Medford parking police for giving us a ticket last week. I actually got mine removed because I basically said I was Chris Earl. And I'm like, wow, there's respect right there. And they just said, you're Chris Earl, done.
Done. Just,
yeah.
Here, and with our apologies.
Yeah. They said, we owe you money. Yeah. But yeah, it was kind of nice. You know, they're doing their job, and I understand. It's the beginning of school, so they don't want people, you know, parking everywhere, you know. And it's a relatively cheap thing, you know. It's a buck an hour, so you park in the lot. But, yeah, we wandered into a ticket last week, me and my guest, and, you know, they took care of them right away. And I said thank you, and they do a good job out there. And hopefully in times to come, my guests will come in here, park on the street, and nobody will get a ticket, and everybody will be happy. And,
well, we're hoping that starts tonight.
Yeah, that starts tonight. And I've given a shout out for them for taking care of that person, doing their job, of course, trying to make some money for the university and the city of Medford. I understand that. But as soon as I said, you know, I'm Tufts community member, Chris Earl, been here 9 years, and say, okay, we'll clear it right away. It was nice. It's nice to actually feel like, you know, I've made a difference in people's lives sometimes. Isn't that a nice feeling?
That is always a good feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we all want to know that we've touched people.
In the right way.
In the right way.
In the appropriate way.
Yes.
Because as we know, you can go down that other route very, very easily.
Yeah.
It's very, very easy to go down that other route. What about Twiggy showing up in that movie? I'm like, why is Twiggy in the movie? She's like the gas girl. Yeah. And Dan Aykroyd basically fills up her tank for $100 or something like that. That'll be $97 or something like that. And 1980 price, that's, you know, a couple hundred bucks for a tank of gas.
She gives him the money, and then they agreed to meet at a hotel, which he doesn't make because he's got to go to the...
Yeah. I miss 1980. I miss 1980.
It was.
It doesn't happen nowadays. It's hard. Maybe, you know, it's just harder to do now, especially in New England, especially in the state of Massachusetts.
Yeah.
It's like, we're a couple of the few guys left. That's what I think. It just seems to be going downhill. I don't know what's happening.
It's tough.
It's a tough nut to crack, and it's just opening a can of worms. We're not going to figure it out in one night. We're just going to play some songs for you.
Yeah, and I think we need to go to Ireland to figure it out.
It's true.
Shout out to our Limerick buddies.
Yes, a shout out to John and Lorraine, and thanks again for coming and meeting them. We had a very nice time a couple weeks ago. We went out for some Chinese food and had a good old time. I don't even know if I can use that term anymore. Can I say Chinese food? I don't know.
You can say it in front of me.
Asian American food? What do I say? Szechuan? Mandarin? I don't know. Those are all Chinese. I have no idea.
You're asking the wrong guy.
And the thing is I don't want to be ignorant. I was just misinformed on what I can and can't say anymore. Being a 40-something man, I don't know how I can say things anymore. I just say them and wait to get in trouble.
Yeah.
That's what basically happens to me. And I do get in trouble. But that's all right. Story for another day. I have something very special here, which is that Sink the Bismarck song. So this is an unreleased song. It was supposed to be played after Rawhide. In the bar, so they're throwing beers at the Chicken Wire when they're opening for the good old boys who aren't there, and they decide to do another song, which is basically this World War II song about a submarine. So this is Sink the Bismarck, and we got a couple more Blues Brothers in our Blues Brothers songs in our block, including some Ray Charles and some James Brown. So stick around. It is WMFO Medford. My guest today is Mr. Winston Kidd, back here in the studio. Be back in a moment.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
In May of 1941, the war had just begun. The Germans had the biggest ship that had the biggest guns. The Bismarck was the fastest ship that ever sailed the seas. On the decks were guns as big as steers and shells as big as trees.
Out of the cold and foggy night came the British ship, the Hood. And every British seaman he knew and understood. They had to sink the Bismarck, the peril of the sea. Stop those guns as big as steers and those shells as big as trees.
Hey, find the German battleship that's making such a fuss. We gotta sink the Bismarck, cause the world depends on us.
Hey, hit the decks a-running, boys, and spin those guns around.
When we find the Bismarck, we gotta cut her down.
The Hood found the Bismarck on that fatal day. The Bismarck started firing 50 miles away. We gotta sink the Bismarck was the battle sound. But when the smoke had cleared away, the mighty Hood went down.
For six long days and weary nights, they tried to find her trail. Churchill told the people, put every ship a sail. Cause somewhere on that ocean, I know she's gotta be. We gotta sink the Bismarck to the bottom of the sea.
Hey, find the German battleship that's making such a fuss. We gotta sink the Bismarck, cause the world depends on us.
Hey, hit the decks to running, boys, and spin those guns around.
And when we find the Bismarck, we gotta cut her down.
The fog was gone the seventh day, and they saw the morning sun. 10 hours away from homeland, the Bismarck made its run. The admiral of the British fleet said, turn those bows around. We found that German battleship, and we're gonna cut her down.
The British guns were aimed, and the shells were coming fast. The first shell hit the Bismarck, they knew she couldn't last. That mighty German battleship is just a memory. Sink the Bismarck was the battle cry that shook the Seventh Sea.
We found that German battleship was making such a fuss. We had to sink the Bismarck, cause the world depends on us.
We hit the decks, the running boys, and spun those guns around.
We found the mighty Bismarck, and then we cut her down. We found the German battleship was making such a fuss. We had to sink the Bismarck, cause the world depends on us.
We hit the decks to run, and we spun those guns around.
We bombed the mighty Bismarck, and then we cut her down.
Dime cuándo tú verás. Dime cuándo, cuándo, cuándo. Di un giorno l'ora in qui. Forse te mi baccerai. A ogni istante tenderò. Fino a quando improvviso ti vedrò. Sorientendecandomi, si vuoi dirmi di sì, direi dirlo perché non ha senso per me la mia via senza te. Quando tu verrai, dimmi quando, cacciando tu verrai, non te le creeremo mai, quando.
Well, I heard about the fella you've been dancing with all over the neighborhood. So why didn't you ask me, baby? Or didn't you think I could? Well, I know that the boogaloo is out of sight, but the shingling's a thing tonight. But if that was you and me, I'd go, baby, I would have shown you how to do it right. Do it right.
Uh-huh.
Do it right. Do it right. Do it right.
WMFO Medford. Going to church with James Brown now. And have that in the background as we're talking Blues Brothers here. But one of my favorite scenes, that one where they go to visit Ray. And they're like, ah, oh, this piano, this organ's terrible. And he's like, oh, no, it's great. And then he puts on this huge production number, you know, with everybody in the street dancing and everything. It's so awesome. And shake a tail feather. And literally, even this point, and they go into the church, and he does the backflip and sees the light. It was like the first, I remember being a kid and seeing that when the blue light comes down, and, you know, and I just couldn't stop laughing. And he does the backflip. We're just in tears laughing. And it was cool because it's like both me and my stepfather, who was, you know, 20, 25 years old, were both laughing at the exact same thing, you know. And it was just John Belushi, you know, just going crazy. It was awesome. He was so good, you know. I wish we kept him around. But, you know, oh well. We still got Dan Aykroyd at least.
We're on a mission from God.
He's so versatile now too, Dan Aykroyd. He's done some pretty amazing stuff over the years. Now I wonder if they're ever gonna do another Blues Brothers, you know. They did the second one, which was Blues Brothers 2000, came out in 1998, didn't do too great. in the, but it still had some great music in it. But I don't know, what would they do for number three? You don't have Jake anymore, of course. Well, you got Dan Aykroyd, of course. I don't think they should put a kid in there. I think the kid was kind of bad, and you know, just throwing him as an aside, you know.
Yep. I think you'd have to find somebody that could take the place of, you know, the take the Jake character.
Mm-hmm.
Not be Jake, but be his replacement.
Yeah.
Because Elwood was not, he's not the lead. He's the great second, but he's not the lead.
Yeah. I was looking through some stuff here, and there was something about Jack Black and Ben Stiller, but I believe it's a joke. Like it was on a joke site. Yeah. I like Jack Black, but he's so far over the top, you know. One of the things about Belushi was he was able to do humble. You know, like that scene with him and Carrie Fisher when he gives her the eyes.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
He's just like giving that dramatic moment, and he's like, "Oh, come on, baby, I love you," and then he kisses her and runs. You know. But drops her in a convenience mud pile. I remember the it seemed like something about being thrown in the mud was big in like the 70s and 80s. Maybe it was Battle of the Network Stars, but there was also, what was it, The Man with Two Brains, where Steve Martin's like, "Into the mud, scum queen," and he throws her out the window and there's a big mud pile in the lawn.
Running gag.
Yep. Oh, remember Battle of the Network Stars? Adrian Barbeau jogging. Oh my god. You used to have that's incredible, Kathy Lee Griffin out there.
Oh, yeah.
Or Kathy Lee Gifford. Or Griffin. Who was it?
Gifford.
Kathy Lee Crosby. That's who it was. It's been too many Kathy Lees over
here. Oh, well, then she married Frank Gifford and became Kathy Lee Gifford.
Oh, okay. Okay. There was Fran Tarkenton, and then there was that other guy, John Davidson. Did you ever watch That's Incredible when the guy would, like, jump over a car and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of a cool show. It was one of those 1970s, early 80s shows where everybody was stoned.
Yeah.
And they're like, "What can we do tonight? Hey, we're going to have a runner jump over a car, but he's not going to make it." so
he's
what they
break
did
his leg.
What they did is what they do now with the reality TV. So they show you that he's going to fail with like a footprint on the windshield that's going to crack it. And then they show that over and over again, and then they wait until the full hour's almost up. And then they have about maybe 3 seconds of actual video. And they've already shown you 2 seconds of it. And then they have the guy come in that's the runner, and like, "Would you do it again?" He's like, "Of course I would.
Yeah, you're paying me to do this."
Of course I would.
Beats working for a living.
Yep.
And the, but, you know, reality TV has gotten to the point where I really think it's a bet to see who kills somebody first.
Yeah. I heard like one of the survivors maybe in one of the other countries actually had somebody die on the show. I heard it. I think it was Survivor. I'm not sure though. But that's like the granddaddy of all the reality shows now, unless you go back to like Real World with MTV and things like that. But yeah, it's you're gonna see that on screen. And the thing is. You know, the producers are always there hamming it up with them and trying to get them to do stuff and talk a certain way and everything. So, you know, it's not a true documentary as we know it. You know, it's definitely, you know, slanted. Plus, they plan all this stuff beforehand, like situations to get people on edge or, you know, disagree with one another. But, yeah, I think we're going to see that. And it's going to be a Truman Show soon. I think the Truman Show is going to actually happen pretty soon, where we're just watching somebody grow up. You know?
It's scary. I mean, I've told you about the show Alone, where there are no cameramen. They send these people out.
Oh, is it good?
Into the Vancouver Island.
Yeah.
They have 10 items they get to take with them, and whoever lasts the longest, and you don't know who doesn't, who's tapped out already.
So nobody knows how everybody else is doing.
Right, but the last person standing gets $500,000.
So how many episodes is in it now so far?
This is they're going on season 5. And on season 3, the final winner was determined because the other two, there were 3 final contestants, and 2 of the 3 were pulled out because they had lost so much weight, it was now deemed unhealthy for them to continue.
Really? Wow. Crazy. Okay.
So they're going to get there.
One from 1957 by the Chips.
I should go on there. I'm going to lose some weight.
It's a great weight loss.
It is a great weight loss program. Just starve yourself. It's like you have to survive. That's it.
Survive. You don't have anything else.
We're going to give you nothing.
The people on that show are eating like slugs.
We'll give you like a cup so you can put your slugs in it.
Real slugs. I mean, it's just like,
disgusting.
And when they find a couple slugs, that's a good meal for them.
I have to tell you something. It's absolutely disgusting. However, I think by getting myself through it, I feel like I'm stronger for it.
There you go.
I came home from a vacation. I was away for about 10 days or so. And I opened up the microwave. Well, first of all, I thought the trash smelled. And I'm like, geez, the trash smells. And I'm like, it's kind of a sweet smell. And I went to open up the microwave to put something in it. And when I opened it up, I had put, I couldn't tell what it was.
Forensic analysis determined.
I have no idea what it was. I think it was some like black bean or some like lentils. And so for chips and, you know, chips and a little lentil. And I may have had maybe a little bit of burger in there. I'm not sure. But when I opened the microwave, this god-awful, like almost a cloud came out of it and just wafted into my nostrils. And I'm like, holy God. But the worst part is everything in the microwave started moving.
Oh.
So there were like very small like maggots or something growing, and there were actual like little fleas out of it. And this had like been 10 days, so it's sitting in there like fermenting or whatever was happening in an enclosed place. But I think, you know, some of them were small enough that they could have gone outside the microwave. So I'm like, well, what the hell do I do here? So I basically took the whole microwave, and I took the bowl out, brought it right outside, sprayed the hell out of it, and super cleaned the microwave over and over and over again. I almost came to the point where I'm going to throw the whole damn thing out. I'm going to throw the microwave out, I'm going to throw the bowl out, I'm going to throw everything out.
You had a whole civilization, a new culture in there.
Yeah, but what I did was I managed to wash everything out and save it and everything. It was so disgusting. I was like, oh my God, I can never use this microwave again, not think of that, or never use this bowl again. However, for special occasions, I did save the bowl. And I washed it out, and I said to myself, you know what, I'm going to use this bowl again. And I made myself nice salad, and I put it in the bowl after everything was all washed out, and I ate it, and I was all set with it. And now I've put the bowl aside for those special people that may come to the house, and I will give them the maggot bowl. I'm like, yeah. You know, it's a nice bowl. It was a nice glass bowl, but oh my God, was it freaking.
And this is one of my key things about life. Civilization is built, civilization, in my mind, is built on ritual and tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Earl has just created a new tradition, the maggot bowl.
The maggot bowl, that's right. So disgusting, huh? But I also feel like I had to do that. I'm like, I've seen Survivor so many times. And I said to myself, can I do it? Granted, I didn't pick up that bowl of rotted, you know, fermented bean slash
probably a good
burger
idea.
Dip. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because everything was moving. I mean, everything. Like, things were crawling away as I was cleaning. And I was freaking out. It was
good.
Almost like dry heaving as I was cleaning.
That's
out.
Not good.
Yeah. But what's great is, like, I was home for, like, 4 days, too. Before using the microwave. And I'm sitting there thinking, geez, the trash smells.
Why is
like,
trash
and I'm like, I hadn't put anything in the trash. And then when I wanted, you know, I think I was, like, you know, putting, like, a cup of coffee to reheat it or something. And I'm like, oh. I just freaked out.
And that just totally ruins your whole day because now you can't close the microwave and forget you saw that.
No.
You have to clean it now.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm trying to get it out of my mind. I haven't yet, but I've turned it, by telling the story, it's a healing process for me. You know,
because we're helping you get through it.
It's basically taking that power away that vision had over me. And I'm taking that power away and I'm putting it like deep down within me and gaining a strength from it.
That's right.
And by eating out of that bowl, I'm like, yeah, I'm getting past that fear, you know? I saw something that was absolutely hilarious last night that I got to show you. And it was basically an actual, like, if a horror movie did happen to real people. And it was very much something like me and Big Nez were on here years ago before zombies got big. And we were talking about just a bunch of stoners and people drinking, like, having to deal with a zombie apocalypse. And this is before Walking Dead and all that. And there was a scene that we talked about where the guys just go crazy and they beat the hell out of whatever is there. And they don't know what to do and they run away. So you have to see this. It's almost like that movie Lights Out that came out. So there's two guys, and they're, you know, early 20s, early 30s. And they're trying to go. They're just walking down the hallway. They're going to go to bed or whatever. They turn the light off, and they see, like, the shadow of a girl in distance. Then they turn it off again. The shadow's a little closer. And then they turn it off again, and it's right next to them. And they literally freak out, start screaming, punch the hell out of it. Another guy comes back with a gun, and they just shoot. It's hilarious. It's only, like, 20 seconds long. But it's, like, it's so funny just how much they freak out and just it's all be done with it. It's like, why have a 90-minute horror movie when you could have a 20-second one, and it's just as good, you know? Halloween's coming up. October's coming up. It's flying by. It's flying by 2017. It's not flying by fast enough for me. I want it just to be over, but it's flying by. How's yours been so far?
It could be better.
Yeah.
But hey.
Any maggot bowl stories?
I've avoided the maggot bowl, so I think that's a plus. That's a big plus, and geez, I'm hoping our friends from Ireland didn't have to eat out of the maggot bowl.
No, they didn't. I didn't give them the maggot bowl. I didn't tell them that story either, because of course they were eating over. And I didn't want to spoil it for them. We ordered out when they came over.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was just, it was so freaking. I think I'm going to go on another vacation, though. But when I do, I'm going to make sure that the microwave is both unplugged.
And empty.
And empty, yeah. And the trash.
Yeah, that's probably another good one.
And I should make sure I shower before I leave, just in case. Because I've had those moments lately where I think it's just being middle-aged now. It's like it's not the old-age smell just yet, but there's a few days where it's like, oh, my God, something smells ripe, and I'm like, that's me. I'm like, that's me, and I have, you know, the deodorant on, or I've doused myself with a little spray for the face. You know, something nice, like a bottle of Rookie or whatever. I just give it a couple sprays, and I go midair, and I waft through it with my face.
Now, I stopped using the deodorant.
Yeah?
I mean, if I can smell me, then I'm like, all right, I need to take a shower.
Yeah. I guess that's a good way to go. Sometimes, and correct me if I'm wrong, and this is a little weird, but sometimes I smell... But it smells very good. It's like, I know there's that natural scent that people have and they enjoy it. But I'm like, sometimes I smell and I'm like, it almost smells like a woman.
Really?
I almost smell like a woman sometimes.
You can do that these days.
Yeah. It's like I'm half there.
However you feel.
Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I smell like a woman. And I smell myself again and I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I'm almost aroused. It's awful, but it's sweet and nice at the same time. It's weird. Have you ever smelled like a woman? Like just different parts? It could be any part. You know?
I parts of me have smelled like a woman, but because they've been, you know, on a woman.
Yeah.
But
So it's but, woman by default. Yeah. It's like been rubbed onto you. Woman scent has been rubbed onto you.
It's the best way to get it.
That is a good way to get it, yeah.
But no, I can't say that I've ever smelled like a woman.
Yeah. Maybe I'm going through
like
the change.
Like a dog, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's, I'm going through a change.
Of course, that's when the dog rubbed on you, too.
Yeah. So. How about like a dog breath? Have you ever smelled like dog breath? That's kind of an awful smell, isn't it?
No. I wouldn't notice that.
Does a dog breath, does it ever smell nice? Have you ever been in a dog's face and it's like, oh, this is nice?
No. I've owned dogs all my life. Never has their breath not been kind of rancid.
Give me five of your favorite smells.
Five
of your favorite smells.
Coffee, chocolate, bacon.
Yep. Oh, man. Three big ones right there.
Burgers.
Oh.
Roasting.
Yeah. Yep.
And French fries.
French fries, that's a nice one. Yeah.
Oh, warm apple pie.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, anything on Thanksgiving's usually good.
Yeah.
Unless it's like grandpa. Because he's past that age. He's a little ripe.
Grandpa in the maggot bowl. Definitely too.
I could have a horror movie just there with it. I mean, honestly, one of the scariest scenes for me was from Poltergeist, when the guy's eating the chicken, and all of a sudden it turns into all these maggots.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, the ghosts are messing with him, and he starts freaking out and pulling apart his face.
Oh, yeah, oh, that's right.
It's quite a great movie, that first Poltergeist. Wow. Such a great movie. Scary.
And the other, they also had the maggots in Lost Boys.
Yeah, when these...
Kiefer Sutherland looks at him and says... How's your maggots?
Yeah, and it's a bowl.
He'd been eating Chinese noodles.
Mm-hmm. You have to see this movie called What We Do in the Shadows. It's so funny, and it's so amazing. It's from these guys in New Zealand, and they play vampires, and it's comedy. But they treat it like it's a documentary of this family of vampires that live together. And it's so funny and so amazing. It's on Netflix right now, and it's gaining a cult following. It's one of the best.
What We Do in the Shadows?
What We Do in the Shadows. You got to see it. It's hilarious.
I shall watch that.
It is a fantastic movie. Very funny. I've watched it like 3 or 4 times now. And they have different levels of vampires there. So they have one that's a few hundred years old. They got one that's relatively new. They got one that's just completely ancient. But the way that they do it is they're all, like, living in a house together, and they have, like, house rules, and they have house meetings, and they decide to go out to parties together, and who to bring home to kill, and things like that. It's funny. It's a really good movie. I'm going to play one more in the background here. We got the Flip, Flop, and Fly by the Blues Brothers, and then maybe we'll play some Aretha to close out the hour.
Yeah, and I just want to say, for the record, I mean... We've been friends for a while, and never have I noticed you smelling like a woman.
No. Well, I guess I'm going through the change. I think I'm going through the change. Maybe it's me. Maybe psychologically, in my mind,
maybe you think
I'm smelling myself as a woman. Maybe that was what Bruce Banner, what's his name? Bruce Banner, that's the Hulk.
Oh, okay.
Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Jenner. Maybe he started to smell himself and thought, maybe I should go... the next level. I don't think so, though. I think he's badass crazy. Me, I'm a little crazy. He's completely crazy. She, whatever it is. I never know what to do with that either. If he were Chinese, what would I call him? I don't know if I would call him Bruce or Caitlin. Or
if you were Chinese, you'd still Asian call American? Him Caitlin.
Caitlin.
I mean, that's the safest bet right there. And I think that just...
Yeah.
I blame the Kardashians for that one.
The names, man, the names are going out the window. Whatever happened to, like, just like a Jim or a Dave or a Mary or a, you know, or, you know, Beth. You know, these names,
Beth,
just like it is Beth with an I and two H's. It's Dave with an X. You know? It's Michael with two dollar signs in the middle of it. I don't understand it. These are great passwords, by the way, for anybody. Passwords, can you remember any of them? Do you have to write them down? Do you remember them all? You got a good memory. Do you memorize all your passwords?
I do.
Do you?
And I have... You know, occasionally you forget, but it's like you've got a whole list of them that change over time.
Yeah. Sometimes I use people's names, and then when I'm angry with them, I get rid of that password.
Right out of there.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm not the only one that does that.
I noticed that women, I'm not going to say all women.
Yeah. Would I be included?
If I
smell like one.
Half. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Tend to use their significant other in their password.
Right. Or like a dog.
And, you know, I figured that out when I found out my ex-wife was cheating on me.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, her password changed to Rob Dog.
What was it?
Rob Dog.
Was that the dog, or was that...
No, that was the name of the guy she was...
So that was, like, the pet name?
She was boning at work.
Yeah. What about the Rich Gustus joke? She's got a pet name for me, Steve.
Yeah.
Just belted it out one night. Makes me so mad. Makes me angry.
But hey,
I wish I could do something for you. It just makes me angry.
No, it's just, that's life.
Let's find out. I'm going to go on all of her sites and use Rob Dog and see if I can get into him for you.
Oh, he's long gone.
Is he? Good. What did he learn from the whole thing? I hope, yeah.
I don't think he learned anything.
I hope he learned what a mistake he made.
I don't think he learned anything.
No. Rob Dog doesn't sound like somebody that would learn anything.
He was married,
like,
too.
There we go. That's why. Yeah.
And the last communication I know they had, she let him know she filed for divorce from me. Mm-hmm. And that now the two of them could go talk to his wife.
What? Really?
And his response was, there's no reason to tell her anything about this.
Yeah. Why would he?
Because she believed he was going to leave her for her.
Oh, I don't know. People are crazy. That's what it comes down to. People are absolutely crazy. They go into survival mode, and they just act like the absolute beasts that they are, you know?
Full-on BS crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. What happened to being nice? What happened to being a good person, Winston? I don't know.
It just doesn't count anymore.
I don't know. You know what? I hope there's a hell. I hope there's plenty of people in it. I hope there's plenty of people in it. And if I do go there, I'm going to be working hard to get a set of big horns so I can watch other people burn, you know? I'll take my licks, but yeah. I want to see other people burn right in front of me.
I ain't going alone.
That's right. That's a great song. Here's early, I want to say it's a very strong feminist song.
Oh, it's a great song.
Yeah, one of the best songs of all time, actually. One of the best soul rock and roll songs. And Aretha's great. She's big, though. I mean, she's big.
She's a big woman.
Yeah.
A lot of woman loves her.
Sexy, though.
Big sexy, for sure. And this scene in the movie was outstanding.
Yeah. It actually was. Yeah, there's so many great scenes in that.
And then she turns to the end and looks at Donald Duck Dunn and says, get out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it Donald Duck Dunn?
No, it was Steve. No, not Steve Cropper. It was the guy that Big Lou Maroney. Big Lou Maroney.
She's like, what are you doing? Get out of here.
That's so
he
good.
He jumps over the counter. But she, you know,
yeah,
that was a great one when she turns around and she says, you know, gives him the respect thing and he mans up and says, yep, I'm leaving.
Yep. Oh, man. So good. It would be nice if they made a
third
one.
Getting the band back together.
Let's go into the regular 80s. We're getting up to 6 o'clock. Why don't you read us a PSA there? What do you have for us? There's something new there that I haven't heard of, so this will be fresh for me as well.
This is a PSA. Tufts Open Call. Tufts Open Call invites all members of the Tufts community, as well as the general public, to their weekly event in the intimately lit lounge on the top floor of Dowling Hall. Open Call. And it is an experiment in creating meaningful human connections at Tufts through shared, novel experiences. Open Call aims to provide a non-alcoholic, social space to meet new people and explore your own senses. This sounds good. For more information, including the details of the next event, check out the Tufts Open Call homepage on Facebook. A message from the Tufts Open Hall community and WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community Radio.
All right. I'm looking at Tufts Open Call. It's out there.